Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Amu l'ina ha-samach l'meitzef. You have a tree that's right on the border between two fields. B'toich shteiz esrema. If somebody puts a tree within 16 amma, says the Gemara, says Ula, such an individual is a gazlan. He's a gazlan because he's taking away from the other person's property, and therefore emavim bikurim. The halacha is that every year, from all the new fruit of the Zayin Haminim, they would have to bring the bikurim to the Beis Hamikdash to give it to the kohen. And the pasuk says ashatavi be'artzecha, and a tree that is nourishing from somebody else's field is not considered miartzecha. So there's a machlokes rishonim how to approach this gemara. One approach is that this person is not considered a gazlan. 16 amos, as we learned in our previous shiur, is not the distance how much we have to separate from another field. But what it means is that there's a special limud that the Torah says me'artzecha, that the bikurim we bring has to be me'artzecha, and this is not considered, bringing it this way is not considered bringing it me'artzecha. That's one approach. Of course, many Rishonim disagree with that approach because the Gemara uses the word gazlan, and if the Gemara uses the word gazlan, then how can we say he's not a gazlan? Moreover, if he indeed is not a gazlan, why shouldn't he be able to bring bikurim? So some explain because of that he is a gazlan, and others say that even if he's not a gazlan, as far as hilchos bikurim are concerned, that he is considered a gazlan. Because a person has an obligation, even though he could technically say, I followed what the halacha says, but a person has to be very careful not to take from anybody else. And this is considered taking from somebody else. And since it's considered taking from somebody else, such produce should not be brought as bikurim. And actually, the halacha is not like ula, but like we're going to learn later in our shir, Amnas Kein Hilchi Yeshua Yisrael Saaretz, that actually Yeshua gave Klai Yisrael with the understanding that they would be allowed to plant trees and bring bikurim from such trees. But says the Gemara, Menalayla Ulaha, from where does Ula know this halachim? So of course we know that every 7 years is a Shemitah year. And when the Shemitah year arrives, the halacha is that we're not allowed to work the field. But even though that halacha is stated regarding the Shemitah year, the halacha is that midaraisa, there are times you have to add to the Shemitah year. The halacha midaraisa is that 30 days before the Shemitah year, you already have to stop working on the ground. And there's a machlokes in Masechta Ma'akotin, daf gimel amud beis, if that is a halacha that's in the Torah, or it's a halacha l'mashmi Sinai. Both of them have the same status as a deraisa. As the Gemara also teaches us, particularly the Mishnayos and Masechta Shviyos, that Chazal extended the time from when you may not work on the field. By a state for a field that grows grain, it starts from Pesach of the sixth year, and a state Elon, a field that has trees on it, there it starts from the Shavuos year. However, there are exceptions to the rule. A field, as we're going to learn, that has 10 saplings, small saplings, that are dispersed over an area of Beis Saw, there's a special halacha l'moshe m'Sinai that you can work on that field until Shemitah begins. And the reason is, because if you won't continue working on them until the last possible moment, they may not survive. That's why there's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, you could work until Shavuos. And there isn't even a gzeiros chazal not to. After the Churban Beis Hamikdash, Rav Gamliel and his Bezdin said that the halacha of working on the field, of not being allowed to work in the field in before the sixth year, no longer applies. And there, obviously, the basis for Rabbi Gamliel being able to do so, because it is his opinion that this is a halacha, that's L'moshe Sinai, and the halacha, and they understood that this halacha L'moshe Sinai was only stated b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayim. When the beis hamikdash is not standing, this halacha L'moshe Sinai is not operative. So begins the Gemara. So Ula said about one tree next to the other tree within 16 amos, you don't say Bikurim. So ask the Gemara, from where do we notice? Ilam Meditanan, from the halacha that we just learned, where it says, Esen Atiyas HaMefuzaris B'toch Beis Sop, if you have 10 saplings that are dispersed in an area of a Beis Sop is an area of 50 amma by 50 amma. The halacha is, as we just said, Chorshin Ko Beis Sop B'Shvilon. We could work on this entire Beis Sop in the sixth year, ad Rosh Hashanah, onto Rosh Hashanah. Because as we said, the halacha L'moshe Sinai taught us that even though normally we can't work b'zman shebeis mishkayim on the field until the actual Shemitah year, in this situation, we're allowed to. But it's only when we have this situation where we have these 10 young trees in the area of a beis saw. But if we have less than then we may not. And if we have more than 10, we also may not. And the reason we may not when we have more than 10 is because when we have more than 10, there's no way that these trees will be able to grow properly in such a tight fit. And therefore, some of these trees are going to have to be uprooted, explains Tosfos. And therefore, you're not allowed to work on a tree that's anyway not going to be there for the Shemitah year. The Rimagash says that if you have less than 10 trees, you have between 3 and 10 trees, the halacha is you still can work there. The Mishnah is coming not to tell us that it has to be 10, and if it's less than 10, you may not work on that field. Actually, what the Mishnah here is coming to teach us, is that when you have a field this size, when you have enough space, then you're allowed to work on the field. So certainly, 10 fields is considered that you have enough. Certainly, if you have more than 10, it's less than 10, it's also allowed to be worked. So we have a Mechlokes Rishonim, if it's 10 or even less than 10, says the Gemara. So now we could use this halacha to reference the halacha that Ula just taught us. Kama avalhu, how much is the area of a beis sop? So as we said earlier, the area of a beis sop is 50 by 50, which that means it's trei alpin v'chamish me'ei gamidei. It's 2,500 square amma, which is 50 times 50. L'kol chad v'chad kama matali. If we take 2,500 square amma and we divide it by 10, so how much does each tree get? Nasim v'chamshin. 250 times 10. Halei havad de'ula. So says the Gemara, this won't be consistent with the opinion of Ula, because Ula said that how much room does a tree take up? 16 amma. 16 amma means 32 by 32 amma, which is a total of 1,024 square amma. So if we take that amount and we divide it by 3, it's going to be a lot more than 250. And if Ula said that the shear is 200, so we can't use Ula for that. El Meditanan. So where is the source of Ula? In other words, we would have to divide 3 into 10, 24. 3 into 20, 10, 24 is over 300 per tree. Says the Gemara El Meditanan from this Mishnah. The Mishnah there discusses shloish alonis, that you have three trees that are growing in one beisah, shashloish bnei adam, that are owned by three different people. Harayelu mitzdarfin, it's considered a stay ilon. And in a stay ilon, the halacha is v'choshen kol beisah b'shvilon. We said that when it's a field where there are trees, we're allowed to work on the entire field until shvuos. And the halacha, and we learn from here, kamal avalu. So now, again, let's figure it out. Trey alpha v'chamish mei garmidi. We have a total area of 2,500 square amma. So how much? And we divide that by three. L'kol chad kama motalei. What will be the amount of space that each tree will get? It'll be tamne mei v'tolos v'tolos v'tolson. 833 and a third, which is still a dakati nafesh lehud ula, which is still more than ula, because according to ula, as we said, the entire area is 1,024. Says the Gemara, what the Gemara means to say, says the Gemara, loidok. We weren't so specific. We weren't so particular. And it says the Gemara, eima damrina loidok, when do we say that type of an answer, lechumra, where we're going to say it, there's going to be a chumra. Lekula, but as a result of our halacha, we're going to end up with a kula. Kula loidok mi amrinin. We don't say that. So how could ula make it into a larger area? Because again, ula began this year by increasing the area. We won't have, by increasing the area, that will be the amount of space where we don't have to. That'll be the amount of space where we don't bring Bikurim. But if Ula is not being exact with what he's saying, then it turns out that Ula is giving us more space not to say, not to have to bring Bikurim where it's not proper, says the Gemara. Me answers the Gemara. Me sabit ribu kamrinan. When we said that Ula says that a tree needs an area of 16 amma, it wasn't a square around the tree that Ula was referring to. Bigula kamrinan. He means that it nourishes 16 amma in a circle. So that means we have a square of 32 by 32, which is the 16 by 16. And now we have to carve out a circle within that square. And when the circle around that tree that has a box of 16 by 16 amma, that's going to be the area from where that, if that tree is nourishing from another tree, you won't bring a bikurim. So now we are going to deduct from the area. So what is the formula, says the Gemara, for the circle in a square? How much less area does a circle in a square take up of the square? Michti, kama meruba yosala ugo. How much is a square larger than the circle in it? Reviya. That means the circle that's in a square is takes up 75%, 3/4 of the area of the square. So if we said that Ula spoke, if it's 32 by 32, we said it's an area of 1,024, but now we're taking off a quarter, so now we're left with Pashlu Shva Meir Yishit V'Tamya. We're left with 768. That's how much will be left if we deduct a quarter from 1,024. That is the amount, according to Ula, that the tree nourishes. Says the Gemara, Kati Pashalei Palgad Amsa. But says the Gemara, to get to that number, it's not 16 amma that's going to be this area of unique. It's going to be 16 and a half, and which is not the number that the number to reach the number that we've been trying to speak, you would have to have 16 and a half amma. But Ula spoke only about 16 amma. So again, asked the Gemara, that isn't that off? He should have said 16 and a half, not 16. Says the Gemara, that's exactly what we've been learning. Hainu loidok, that was what was meant when the Gemara says that we're not speaking with exact numbers. And that's also what was meant when it was said that l'chumra loidok. Because really, if we wanted to be exact, we should have said 16 and a half. But in order not to have a situation where we're going to give bikurim in a place where we ought not to give bikurim, in order to avoid such a situation, Ula limited it to an area of 16 square amma, even though he technically could have said 16 and a half amma. Ask the Gemara, Toshima, so the Mishnah says, if somebody buys a tree and the earth under the tree, maybe vikairi, he has to bring bikurim, and not only does he say the mikra bikurim, the pasuk, there's a din that if you bring bikurim as you're supposed to bring it, there's a parsha mikra bikurim that you say when you bring the bikurim, and says the Gemara that if you did it this way, you'll bring bikurim, and you'll even say the parsha of that you'll even say the parsha of mikra bikurim. My love, so suggest the Gemara, isn't that Mishnah referring to a situation that you even just bought koshu, just a small amount of ground under the tree, because you bought a tree in somebody else's property, and yet we're learning that you say that you bring bikurim. But why is this not a violation of what Ula taught us at the beginning of our shir, that this is not considered that you're bringing mi'artzecha from your property? Says the Gemara, loy, that Bryce is speaking about where you bought Shesh Esra Amma, that you didn't just buy the small area of ground under the tree that you're bringing the Bikurim from, you bought the area of 16 Amma around it. So ask Taisvis, if that's the case of that Mishnah, so then the Mishnah is not teaching us any chiddush. Of course, if you own the tree and the entire area around it, you're going to have to bring bikurim. So Taisus answers that what Mishnah is coming to teach us, that if somebody bought a tree and he didn't stipulate that I'm buying the 16 amas around the tree, we cannot assume that he owns the 16 amas around the tree. And since we may not assume that he owns the 16 amas around the tree, that's why the halacha will be that under those circumstances, he won't bring. Only in a situation where he clearly indicated that I'm buying the 16 amas around. But Taisa says, but if I bought two trees, when I buy two trees, there the assumption is that I bought the entire area needed to say Bikurim around the tree. So the Ramban asks that if that's what the Mishnah over there is coming to teach us, why does the Mishnah use the words Hakoine Ilan V'Kakor? The halacha is, that Mishnah, asks the Ramban, is very ambiguous, because we're learning that there's a shear of 16 amma, but that Mishnah is not teaching us anything about the shear. Says the Ramban, that from here we learn that even if you won't agree with Ula, and as we said, that the halacha is actually not like Ula, the halacha still requires that you own some karka under the tree. If you own no karka under the tree, everybody agrees that you're not going to bring, everybody will agree you don't bring bikurim. We learned before that really the shear should have been 16, but 16 and a half amma is the distance that you have to have in order to bring bikurim. But because Ula wanted to bring machmer, he didn't say 16 and a half, he said 16. So Taisus asks that not every time we identify something as a chumra, is it really a chumra? This is a chumra that actually will lead us to a kula, because the halach is that bikurim don't have to bring truma and maiser. But this produce, if you have a tree that's only 16 amma, and not 16 and a half, is chayiv in truma maiser. You'll think that it's chayiv in truma, you'll think it's chayv mikurim, and you won't bring the truma and meiser that you're going to have to bring. So because of that, Tosfos explains, and this the Maram tells us what Tosfos means to say, that Ula meant to say is up to 16 amma, there is no question that you're not going to be allowed to bring Bikurim. Once it's 16 amma, it's not for certain that you're going to have to bring Bikurim. Now we have to start examining exactly what is the situation. And therefore, the halacha is that it doesn't mean that from 16 you'll bring, even though you're not really chayiv. The Ritva asks a different question. He says that if you're going to bring Bikurim, so the Bikurim is brought to the Azara, given to the Kohen, as the Torah prescribes. But if you're not obligated to bring this Bikurim, it'll be a situation of Chulim Bazara. So how could I bring it? So because of this, the Ritva says, and we spoke about this at the beginning of the Shir, it's not that Ula, when Gemara said he's a Gazlan, it's not that Ula holds that it's a Chisa Deraisa. Ula says that you're not, and like we said, there are opinions under Rishonim that you're not really considered a full-fledged Gazlan. And that's why over here too, if it's such a small difference, Ula says bring, because I'd rather you bring when you may be not mechuyev than not bring when you are mechuyev. Tashma, the Mishnah says, Konish shnei ilanus, b'toich shel chaveroi. If you bought two trees in somebody else's property, maybe you bring bikurim v'ene kairi. We don't say the parsha bikurim because you don't say the parsha of bikurim unless you have a real property. And this is not considered a real ownership of property. But the question is, why should you bring? Why is this not considered, this is a violation of Priyadam Mishnah Satali, says the Gemara. But what do we learn from the Mishnah? Hashloisha, if you bought three trees, maybe the Kairi, you would bring the Bikurim and say the Mahashimak Rikurim. My lav, ask the Gemara, isn't it speaking about that you only own a kosher property? And it's interesting, the Rishonim make a nice observation. This halacha is not necessarily, we don't need to learn this halacha from a diik in the reish of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it explicitly in the Sefer. But the Rishonim say that that's the derech of Shas, that even though something could be taught from what the Mishnah says explicitly, we learn it from a diik. But here we're learning that when you have three trees, you bring the Bikurim and you say the Pasha Bikurim. And doesn't it mean, ask the Gemara, even in a situation where you only own a kosher of the property, and therefore the tree is nourishing from the 16 amma of somebody else's property, and why would that halacha be that you could bring the Bikurim according to what Ula has been teaching us on our Shia today? Says the Gemara, loy. Ula is going to explain that the Mishnah there is speaking about Hachinami Sheish Esrim Amma, that you own of area of 16 amma around the tree, and that's why you bring the Bikurim. So ask the Gemara Toshma. The Mishnah Masech Peya teaches us, Rekiva Oyma Karka Kalshu, if you even own just the smallest amount of property, Chai Bepeya, one of the Matnas Anim that we have to leave every year is Peya, a corner of the field, the produce should be left for the Anim. Bikurim, as we've been speaking in our Shia today, the Kaisvim of Prozba. The Gemara Masech the Gittin Daflam of Manalf teaches us that after Hill saw that we know that in the Shemitah year, all debts are canceled. So people were avoiding lending people money. And they were violating an explicit pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, Hisham lecha, penyeh davem levavcha b'liyah, lei mekavah shnas ha-shemitah shnas ha-sheva. People are going to not want to lend money. So because of that, Hillel instituted the prizbul. And what the prizbul accomplishes is that somebody is giving over the debt to Bezdin, and their Bezdin is collecting the money owed on your behalf. And the halacha is that a debt that's owned to Bezdin is not subject to cancellation. Some explain that it's only Shemitah Bezman Hazeh, that Shemitah is the Rabbanan, where Ula's advice would work. Some say it works under all circumstances. But there's a very important extra halacha that we speak about when we speak about a prosbul. And that is that in order for a prosbul to be effective, the loiva, the person who owes the money, has to own karka. If he doesn't own any real estate, then the prosbul cannot be effective. There's a machloikus rishonim as to why. Some rishonim say, because it was very uncommon that somebody should lend money to somebody who doesn't own property. You only lend money to somebody who owns property, who, and therefore you have from where to collect. So Hillel only instituted the prosbul in a situation where the person has property with which to pay back. Others explain that if somebody has property, he always has the ability to pay. Because what's going to happen? He'll take the malva, will take that property, and even if that property is not equal to the amount of the loan, the loiva will passably buy back the property, and now he'll take it again. And if we keep on going with that circle, he has from where to collect, and therefore the halacha prosbul is only when the loiva has karka. And Rav Kiva is teaching us in that Mishnah that even if there's just a karka kolshu, it's enough to write prosbul. There's another halacha, which we often learn in Shas. We speak often in Shas about different kinyonim, different ways to affect a transaction. And one of the ways affecting a transaction is kinyon agav, that if somebody did a kinyon, the nickname on the chas shalom karkos, if somebody did a kinyon on the karka, so as we've learned and will learn, the kinyon on a karka, there are many different options. Kesef shtar chazaka. Kinyon metaltlin is only with meshicha, with actually taking the object. So if I bought karka from metaltlin from someone else, I would have to actually do meshicha. That means I have to be there. But if I buy together with the metaltlin karka, so, and I did one of the effective methods of doing kinyan on karka, so the halacha will be that the metaltlin will be nikna agav the karka. And the Mishnah over there tells us that even if you just bought karka kolshu, it's effective for kinyan agav. But we see from there that even if you own just a karka kolshu, you chayiv bikurim. And presumably, that Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva is speaking about is that I have a small piece of karka from which the tree is growing, and we're learning that that's enough to be chayiv and bikurim. Not like Ula began our shir today, that you need to have 16 amma. Answers, the Gemara Hachamai Skinan, the Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva is referring to there is Bechitin. When did Ula say you need 16 amma? Ula said you need 16 amma when you're talking about trees, because trees nourish. But when we're talking about a wheat field, you don't have this issue of nourishment, and therefore, even Ula would agree that even from a karka kolshu, and one of the zayminim, or not is chitin, you bring bikurim from chitin, and therefore, it would be a case where even Ula would agree that you don't have to have 16 amma. Dekanami says the Gemara, I'll prove to you that that's the way to learn the Mishnah. The Tani Kolshu. The Mishnah speaks about a very small piece of property. You can't have a tree on such a small piece of property. Shmamino, it's a proof that we're obviously not speaking about trees. We're speaking about chitin. Tashma. So Gemara asks another question on Ula. The Mishnah says, the Brisa says, Ilan Shemiktosa Ba'aretz, a tree that's partially in Eretz Yisrael, Miktosa B'chutz La'aretz, and partially in Chutz La'aretz, Tevel V'chulim Aravin Zebezeh. When we look at this tree, we look at this tree as if there's fruit that's Tevel, because produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael is Chayiv in Trumas HaMaisris, and until the Trumas HaMaisris are removed, that produce is Tevel, and produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael are chulin. And since they're growing together, so we have this mixture in every fruit. Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Hagol b'chiyev chiyev, what's found on that Tzisrael side is considered a Tzisrael produce, and it's chayiv in Trumas and Maisris, and Hagol b'ptor, what grows on the Chutz Laretz side, is considered a produce of Chutz Laretz, and it's part of Trumas and Maisris. So makes the Gemara its point. At Kanloi Pligi, what is the Machloikus? The Mas of a Yesh Breira, we could separate on one tree which fruits are considered as a Sraudiga fruit and which fruit is considered Chutz Laretz fruit, or Mas of a Ein Breira. And the Chazanish writes immediately that the Breira that the Gemara here refers to is not the Breira that we speak about throughout Shas. Throughout Shas, says the Chazanish, when we see the word Breira, it means retroactive designation. Here, that's the word Breira doesn't mean that. Here, it means that Breira means, can I identify which is Etzisrael and which is Chutz Laretz? And he explains the Machloikis of Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama is actually a Machloikis, what gives the main nourishment. Is the main nourishment from the roots of the tree? And the roots of this tree, because it's partially in Eretz Yisrael and partially in Chutz Laretz, are all mixed together. And therefore the fruits, every fruit that comes out is considered a fruit that has Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz in it. Or is the nourishment from the branches on which you find the trees? And the branches are identifiable, which are the branches from Eretz Yisrael and which are the branches from Chutz Laretz. Says the Gemara, at kan lo pligi el the masava yesh breira, we can identify, or masava ein breira. Av gadol b'tor, the part that grows in Chutz Laretz, everybody will agree, if we can identify it, is potter. Aye, it's being yoinik, it's nourishing from the 16 amma next to it, and the 16 amma next to it is certainly an Eretz Yisrael, so why would we say it's exempt? Answers the Gemara, Hoche b'mayiskinen, that Bryce is speaking about the Masuk Sumna. There's a rack in the middle of, under the tree that separates the Israeli side from the Chutz Laretz side. Ask the Gemara, Hochi, if that's the case, my Tamid Rabbanon. So why would the Rabbanon say that the Tevel and the Chulin are Muravim? We could clearly identify what is from Eretz Yisrael and what is from Chutz Laretz. Answers the Gemara, the Hadi Arvi. Yes, underground is separated, but the tree is together. Rebbe's opinion is Avira Mamalba. Since they get reconnected by the branches and by the trunk, they're considered a mixture. Masava, since underground they are separate, so each fruit is clearly identified. The Pasuk says in Parshas Korach that Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yichel Moshe Moed, Moshe got very upset at their behavior, V'yoyim al Hashem, al teifen al menchosam. And Rashi says, al teifen al menchosam, yoydei ani, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I know sheyesh lam chelek b'tamidei tzibur, that as members of Klal Yisrael, they have a share in the carbon tamid that's brought, their portion should not be accepted to you. So the question is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu specifically ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for this by the carbon mincha and not by any other carbon? So the Sefer Leket Oni explains, how could a Moshe Rabbeinu have made such a request? If their portion of the carbon is disqualified, so then that will disqualify the entire carbon. The answer is, we, when we see something mixed together, can't know who owns what. What is what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's looking at the carbon, is able to say, I know this belongs to this person, and this belongs to another person. But he explains that such a concept can be said by a carbon mincha that's brought from flour and oil. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say, I know that these grains of flour belong to this person, and these grains belong to the other person. And therefore, the flour that was owned by Korach and his people is identifiable. But the halacha is by an animal, even though an animal has separate organs, but the animal is one animal. And because the animal is one animal, you can't separate and identify which organ belongs to whom. So there was no option for Moshe Rabbeinu to say, well, don't take the part of the animal that belongs to them. Because it's all one animal. And if we're not going to take that part, we're not going to be able to, then none of that animal could be accepted as a carbon. Certainly something Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to see. So that's why he chose to speak only about the carbon mincha. Ask the Gemara, an ula, the shesh amr of suloi, is it only 16 amr that we have this nourishment? We've learned in our mission that you have to distance 25 amma. Answers the Gemara, Amma by Mezel Tuvil Azli. The roots indeed travel more than 16 amma. They travel 25 amma. However, they don't take out the nourishment, Ela at Shesh Yisra amma, only up to 16 amma. Tfei, past that loy mechashi. Kiyasar of Dimi, Amma by Minei Vishlokshman of Yochanan. Ola Ilan Samach Lameitzer. If somebody has a tree next to the border, which is Betoich Sheish Esri Amma, which is within 16 Amma of somebody else's property, Mahu, what's the halacha? Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan said, Gazlanu, as we started this year, and Ve'ein Mevim Emenet Bekurim. Kiasu Ravan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Echen Ilan Samach Lameitzer. Whether it's a tree that's right next to somebody else's border, what's a tree whose branches hang over somebody else's property, maybe the kairi. We will bring bikurim, and we'll even say the pash bikurim. I, Ula's been speaking the entire shir about the pasuk that says, atche tovi mi artzucha, and why is this not considered a violation of atche tovi mi artzucha? Says the Gemara, shemanas kein hincha Yeshua, that was one of the things that Yeshua gave Eretz Yisrael, that people, that upon divining Eretz Yisrael, that Yeshua made up, that neighbors should not mind the fact that one's tree is nourishing from another land. So Tosfos points out that the fact that Yeshua made the stipulation, that shouldn't be a good enough reason to bring Bikurim. Because as we've been learning through our shir, that it has to be ashatavi me'artzacha. And even if Yeshua says that people shouldn't mind, it still doesn't become asher me'artzacha. So Tosfos says that we have to understand that this tanai that Yeshua meant is not just to say, don't care if somebody else is taking from your property. There's a lot more being said here. What's being said is that it should be considered completely like yours. The Ramban points out that if somebody owns a tree in somebody else's field, even though the land is not his, and he doesn't bring Bikurim Medaraisa, he does bring Medarabonim. So the question is, why would Ula in our shir not agree that we should at least have to bring Truma Medarabonim? So the Ramban says, because Ula holds that this fruit is considered stolen property. In other words, when I have a tree in your property, even though I don't own the property, but obviously you gave me permission to have this tree there. So by you giving me permission to have this tree there, so then I'm not a gazlan. But in our Mishnah, you didn't get that specific tree. You didn't get that type of permission. Since you didn't get that type of permission in Ula's case, that's why Ula says that you have no right to bring Bikurim. Says the Mishnah, Ilan Shu Naitl Stechaveroi, if somebody's tree, the branches are hanging over somebody else's property, Kaitzitz Malay Amarade, somebody sits on the animal as it's plowing, and he has an axe or a scissor to cut off the tree, anything that's blocking the animal, up to that height, the halacha is you could cut off those branches. Agaba machresha. Ubechar b'shukma. What about fruit trees that don't produce fruit? Kenegra mishpailus. Whatever is the line that people use to straighten out their branches. They used to have like a plumb line to make that straight line. Up to there, you could cut off. Beis HaShalchan, if it's a tree that's going into a Beis HaShalchan, and it's a field that needs to constantly be watered, and by having these branches, it prevents the field from the rainwater. The halach is kalil, and you could cut down the entire tree, kenegan and mishpailus, against this amount. Abishalam kalil and surak. Any tree that doesn't get payrus, you could give off, you could take off to the base mishpailus. The halach is, the chashuk echemed has a question, where somebody has a tree next to somebody else's property, and my branches of my tree are hanging over your sukkah. So may I cut down those branches? So he says, certainly I have a right to cut down those branches. The question is, which is very much consistent with what we learned in our Mishnah, the one question that remains is that who has to pay for cutting it down? Do I have to pay? Could I demand the Eber to pay down? Pay. Ibailu. So they asked, Abishol HaReishikoi, when Abishol said, Kol Ilan Srak Negeri Mishkoilis, to which case is he referring? The Tanakhama said that only by Chor V'Shikma, and that Abishol is coming to say that not only Chor V'Shikma, every Ilan Srak, Ayasefikoi. He's referring to the base of Shlalchin, that the Tanakhama said that Beis HaShalchan you could cut down the branches, and Abishol says that you can't cut down all the branches. Toshma, the Brisa says explicitly, the Tanya Beis HaShalchan, Abishol HaMekola Ilan, you could cut down the entire tree, Kenegan HaMeshkoilus, Neshetzel Ra'al Beis HaShalchan. The shade is not good for the Beis HaShalchan, Shma Mina. So from here we see that Abishol is referring to the Reisha and says that even by a field that's not a Beis HaShalchan, you could take off, by field that's not a Beis HaShalchan, if it's an Ilan Tzrak, you could take off all the branches, not only by Chor V'Shikha, Shma Mina. Aravash Masnis and Dami Deka, that Abishol is arguing on the Reisha, the Tani Kol Ilan Tzrak, that's how Abishol expressed himself. So Abishol is speaking to the Reisha. Hanik Tani Kol Ilan. He's speaking Kol Ilan, that the Tanakama only spoke about Chor V'Shikma, and he says Kol Ilan. He's going on the Sada Beis HaShalchin, and the Tanakama held that you could cut down even the branches of a fruit tree. And according to Abishol, you could only do so by Ilan Israq. So how do we understand the word kol that Abishol used? He should have said that this halacha that was taught by the Beis HaShalchin was only said by Ilan Israq, Miboile, Alav Shmamino. By Abishol using the word kol, Areshakoi, she's speaking to the Resha and addressing the Tanakama and saying that it's not only by Chor V'Shikma, Shmamino. Says the Mishnah, Ilan Shunot L'Shus Rabim, if there's a tree whose branches are hanging into the Shus Rabim, Koitzitz K'tei Shigam Oiva V'Rachvoi. You could cut it down to the height that a person riding on a donkey, and a donkey with a rider on it, can be able to pass. Yudaima, he says, Gomel Toam Pishtin Chavaz Mirz. It's a camel that's taking linen or wood. Shimonaima, we could take off the branches that up to the line which you make it straight. Ask the Gemara, Mantana, the Mezakim Basa under the Hashnaz Linen. When we have a situation of Mazik, we look at what is the current situation and we don't look at what's going to be in the future. In our Mishnah, we're cutting down the branches, but these branches are going to grow, yet we're not concerned. Amresh Lakish. This question, if we look at the current situation or what the future will bring, and our Mishnah says that we look at the current situation, Rabbi Lezer, he represents the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. The Mishnah says, we're going to learn later, in Daf Samach, we're not allowed to make a tunnel under Shus Rabbim, we're not allowed to dig under Shus Rabbim, because we're concerned that it may collapse and somebody could get hurt. Rabbi Lezer Mata, if right now a wagon carrying stones could easily, safely travel over it, that's all that's required. So again, we see we only look at the here and now. Our Mishnah can be consistent with the Rabbanan. Hosom, the Mifchas v'Lavadatei. As the wagon rides over this pit, it may weaken the lid, the cover, and you'll never know. Avalhochop, here, as the branches grow and they become an interference, Kamakamakayatzlei will cut them down. Rudam Gomotan, Pishtan or Khavili Zmars. Ibilo Shmu Rabihuda Nafish or Duma Shu Drabana Nafish. We had the Tanakama and Rabihuda, but we don't know which is the bigger shear. Says the Gemara, Pshita the Shu Drabana Nafish. It's clear that the Rabbanan shear means cutting off more branches. This Akatatak Shir Drabihuda Nafish, Rabbanan Vishu Drabihuda Echavdi. What are you going to do with Rabihuda's amount? What happens if somebody goes by with this load on the camel? Elamai, so what we're going to say, that the shear of the Rabbanan is the biggest shear. But now ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Rabbi Yehuda b'shear the Rabbanan of it. What's going to happen when you have a person riding? Then it won't be, you won't be cutting off enough of the branches. Says the Gemara, the Rabbi Yehuda is going to respond, Efesh tegachim v'tal to say, you could always bow down, and even if you're riding, and therefore I don't want you to cut more than you need to. Rav Shimon Amar Kali and Kenegel Hashpoilus Bnei Tumah. Tana, what is Rav Shimon's concern? Bnei Oila Tumah. That we have to be concerned. There's going to be a Kazayis mace under these branches. And if somebody is walking under these branches and there's a Kazayis mace, there's going to be Tumas Oil. Ask the Gemara, obviously that's what Rav Shimon meant. Pshita Bnei Tumah Tanan. That's exactly what he said. Answers the Gemara. We only need to be concerned that maybe a bird brought a kazayis of a mace and put it in the branches. And if that's the concern, all the halacha would require is sagi b'dechluli b'alma, just to thin out the branches. But I don't have to be thin it out that much. It just has to be cut to the degree that nothing can get stuck there. Kamash malon. The no, we cut much more. Because we have to cut the branches, because you shouldn't have a situation where there's a branch that should be big enough that I should stand under the branch with a kazayis of a mace together under that branch, which would bring tumas oil. So the explanation of the Gemara of Rav Shimon's opinion leads us to cut even more branches. Hadron lach lo yachbar, hadron lach lo yachbar, hadron lach lo yachbar.